You're listening to another football episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns with Banker Bill.
Ryan, you should get off the internet.
And your guy, Bully Rye.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
It's your guy, Bully Rye, alongside, if you can see him on the screen, Banker Bill, for the first ever live episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. And I believe this is Banker Bill's facial debut to the show. Bill, how's it going tonight, bud?
Can we not call it that? But we'll just say my first time on cam.
That's exactly what. No, I said it the way that I wanted to say it.
Okay,
like, that was you know, by perfect design. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, great.
So
I'm gonna go.
So I know we've been talking. The last couple of weeks about your iRacing league. Tell us about what happened this past week in your iRacing league this past Monday and Tuesday.
I mean, we did more of the same, more good racing, had a lot of fun. We ran the 1986 version of North Wilkesboro. Anybody that's a fan of racing knows that they put the vintage track back into, well, they actually scanned it and put it into iRacing before they ever decided to bring it back this year in NASCAR. So we actually ran that with the late models, and we had 97 drivers show up, Ryan.
Oh, look at that.
So yeah, that was a lot of people between Monday and Tuesday night, had a lot of fun. And we figured out the winnings. We're giving away over $1,100 in one of the series. So that's going to be pretty cool to the top 10 in points. That's not including, actually, it's going to be close to 1,500 when it comes to all the different awards on Monday night. So that's pretty awesome. I'm kind of excited about that. And I know the guys that are racing are pretty excited about it too. So yeah, we're going to keep going every Monday night.
That's incredible, man. That's good stuff. If you're joining us live on the stream, you know that it's Wednesday, March 29th. And the opening day for Major League Baseball is tomorrow. And that's why you got me rocking a baseball jersey on an
NFL
football
podcast.
Show. Right. NFL, XFL, USFL, CFL, college, you know, football. But I got to rock my Braves for opening day tomorrow. Bill, we're going to start the show now. We're going to get right into some of the NFL offseason talk. And we're going to start off with the saga that is currently Lamar Jackson. He has gone on Twitter and announced that he requested a trade from the Baltimore Ravens on March 2nd. He continues to sort of tell his story via social media. Bill, I guess the first question is he going about doing this the right way?
No, this is awful. This is crazy. I don't know who. I had a conversation about this today. It's amazing. I knew we were going to talk about it, right? So, of course, because you let me know kind of ahead of time. You gave me a little bit of a primer. And I mean, I feel like it is the consensus view, at least to the people that I talk about or talk to. Everybody kind of feels bad for him. And I guess the comparison was made between he and Josh Allen, who were drafted in the same draft. Mm-hmm. And Josh Allen, I think over the course of his career, has made $73 million. And because Lamar Jackson went later in that round, I think he's made around 25.
Yeah.
So it's a huge gap. He can't get that money back. But just the way that this has worked out, I mean, he's frustrated now. He's asking for a trade. Like, no, just play. If you believe in yourself, do what Kirk Cousins did. Play the franchise year or three, whatever he ended up, and then got the big contract. Believe in yourself. If you don't, you're just trying to pull money, and that's not going to inspire anybody to pay you.
So that's what I feel about it. So having, I mean, I can agree and disagree, right? So first of all, I think going about and telling his story on social media, it's a double-edged sword. He's doing the right thing by making sure he's getting ahead of the story, because, you know, with the media and with social media in particular, everybody's going to try to spin their story, right? So he wants to make sure that, like, kind of like what happened with Voldemort and Adam Schefter and Diana Rossini a couple of weeks ago. They went to the source to try to find the story, and they were told to get lost. And rather than telling anybody to get lost, Lamar Jackson wanted to come out and say, listen, this is, you know, they're not paying me what I think that I'm worth, and they have no intention to, so I've requested a trade. I think my issue lies in responding to critics on social media. Like, he put out another set of tweets today surrounding the fact that he sat last year because he wasn't going to get paid and he was injured and he didn't want to further his injury to hurt his stock. Even Deion Sanders came out and sort of said, listen, let the haters be haters. You know, give them what they don't give them what they want. Let them speculate. But you just keep believing in yourself and you do you. That's, I think, where I have issue with it. You know what I'm saying?
I think we're seeing if he's doing him, and this is who he is, I'm not feeling great about it at this point. It's a weird situation. I mean, a lot of these players feel like it's them against the NFL, them against the owners, them against, you know, trying to get the paycheck. I don't know, man. I've never been in that situation. I mean, I feel like that. Hey, I feel like that at work. Hey, it's me against, you know, that my boss didn't want to pay me, right? So
yeah,
more than, yeah. Listen, I'm worth way more than I make. That's obviously
boss,
right. It's
just, boss makes a dollar. I make a dime. That's why I poop on company time. That's where the phrase comes from.
I can't do it. But yeah, you know, yeah. I know what you mean. You know, I've heard that. Yeah. I mean, that's what's happening. It doesn't look good for him right now. I just don't. There's nothing. The Ravens are doing nothing wrong. He is an injured quarterback that had one good season. It's what it is. Maybe two.
I mean, he was in that one good season, he was the consensus MVP in the NFL.
It's an unbelievable season. 1,200 yards rushing, almost 3,200 yards passing. I think he was 36-9, where his, you know, passing stats, but added some more rushing TDs. It's an unbelievable season, but I said it when he got drafted. I had friends that were fans of Lamar Jackson. He's a breadstick. He's eventually going to break, and he's breaking. It's every year he's hurt.
Yeah, and the unfortunate part about it is that with these, you know, they keep saying it, this style of quarterback does not hold tenure in the NFL. We saw what looked like Cam Newton was going to be the guy to break the mold, and then he broke down. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at Vince Young, you look at, Russell, you know, even Wilson. Russell Wilson, you know, Steve Young years ago came out and admitted that he needed to change his style of quarterback in order to survive the NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
And so let's have some fun with it before we move on to the next topic. If he were to get traded, where could you see him going? Because Atlanta. There's a bunch of teams. Well, see, Atlanta said that they're not interested in him.
Like everybody's saying they're not interested in him.
So the GM,
you don't want to tell anybody you are.
Yeah. Well, I think it was either the GM or the owner came out and said that, basically said that there's a lot of talented players that we haven't shown interest in as a franchise, and Lamar Jackson's one of those guys. And they alluded to his injury concerns.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a problem. I mean, I see him being pointed at Miami, and Miami's dealing with their own hurt quarterback. Like, that's going to be a problem. I forget. I mean, I could look up Lamar Jackson's stats, but I know that I think it's been one season, maybe his MVP season, and he's played every single game. That's the only one.
So you're going to stick with the Falcons. You think he winds up in Atlanta?
I think that's the best. I mean, they are terrible. Like, they have nothing at quarterback right now. Like, literally nothing. That's so really bad.
The two teams that stuck out to me when discussing this, one, the Houston Texans. I mean, in fairness, it's sort of Houston's trade of Deshaun Watson to the Browns that and then, you know, the ensuing overly paid contract that was given to Deshaun Watson that's put Lamar Jackson in this situation in the first place. He wants to get paid higher than Deshaun Watson,
right?
And therefore, you know, it would be interesting to see if Houston would sort of right their wrong by taking Deshaun Watson and go back and get Lamar Jackson. But the other team that popped out was the Colts. They've had a different quarterback each of the last like 5 or 6 years, and they've already released Matt Ryan. There's no real like replacement in sight for that right now. They might go draft.
You're naming NFL needy teams.
Like, yeah, that's fair.
Pick one. No. That's where it's at. I mean, you know, the Bills aren't going out and getting Lamar Jackson. Like, that's not happening. It's, you know, what about San Francisco? San Francisco's got lots of quarterbacks. You know, who knows what they've got there? But can any of them play a full season? We don't know.
I mean,
what about any quarterback needy team might want Lamar Jackson? Do you want to give up two firsts for him? That's the real question.
The funniest meme that I've seen online was, this is Lamar Jackson next year, and he's getting a handoff from Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City as their next running back. Real quick, before we move on, I want to remind everybody where you can find the show when we're live like this. We're on Facebook.com/TapOutsAndTouchdowns. We're on Twitter @TapOutsAndTDs. And search for Tapouts and Touchdowns on YouTube. We are live on all three of those platforms. Shout out to Tony Quadros giving us a like and a view on Facebook. We've also
seventh in our race last night. Tony Quadros did.
We've also got a that's awesome, man. I didn't mean to completely overlook that. We've also got our first comment of the night from Volley Polly, Michael Davis from Out of Pocket, a former guest of the show, suggested Chicago for Lamar Jackson and was wondering our thoughts on that. I don't see him I don't see them needing to get rid of Justin Fields.
Justin Fields and pick up Lamar Jackson tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow. I do it absolutely.
I don't think Chicago.
I hate Justin Fields.
I mean, listen, I'm right there with you, dude. Like, I'm right there with you. I don't hate Justin Fields, but I don't think he is going to be a successful NFL quarterback. But at the same time, the Bears believe in him, and they're building around him, or at least trying to at the time. You know, so I just don't – it's not going to happen. Like, it'd be fun, but
– I would do that. Absolutely. Would I trade Justin – it's probably not going to be straight up. I mean, it might be, but Justin Fields is a poor man's Lamar Jackson. He is Lamar Jackson without the arm. He's not going to throw.
He could be a better Anthony Richardson, if you will. But no, I'm gonna stick with on the theme.
I'm pretty
sure
I could be a better Anthony Richardson. No, I'm not.
No, but we talk about Justin Fields. He's a former Georgia quarterback. Let's move on and talk about another former Georgia Bulldog quarterback, and that's Matthew Stafford. Earlier today, Sean McVay came out and said that he was basically good to go, a full go. For off-season workouts, his neck injury, I guess, and his concussion worries were gone. But early in the off-season, the free agency started, there were rumors that the Rams were interested in trading Matthew Stafford. Bill, is this commentary put out by Sean McVay a ploy to maybe, you know, kind of fluff up other NFL owners to maybe come and try to make a trade for Matthew Stafford?
Who is the Rams' backup quarterback, and where do the Rams pick in the draft? I think the Rams are pretty high.
The Rams, here's the thing. So the Rams had a top 10 pick, but they traded that pick away to the Lions in that deal for Matthew Stafford.
So now you're like, yes.
That's how the Lions are going to get. That's how they have a number six overall pick or something like that.
So you're trading for Matthew Stafford. So what do you give up? That is going to be a first round pick. They're going to want to replace him. I don't think they have a backup quarterback.
Is he worth a first round pick this late in his career?
No. They were dumb to give it to Detroit. Although they did win a Super Bowl. So would you give your first round pick this year to win the Super Bowl? Yes, that would happen. Yes, we would do that. Any team would do that. But I don't know what you get. Would you get a third, maybe?
I mean, I guess the question is do you think there's a franchise in the NFL who's willing to trade for a 30-plus-year-old Matthew Stafford who just spent, 14 games last year on the injured list with a bad neck, with
a
bad
head? He's a tough dude. He's never really been injured before.
Well, his first couple seasons, he was injury-prone. But then he sort of
because he got hit more often than Ray Rice's girlfriend. I mean, seriously, that team couldn't protect him at all. You guys are going to get injured when they get hit that often. I mean, look at David Carr. Like, David Carr got smoked while he was playing for the Texans. Could have been a great quarterback. We'll never have any idea because he was terrified in the pocket. Stafford's a tough dude. We don't know what's going to happen this season with injury, but you're right. He's so old. What do you give up for him? But hey, the Jets are willing to give stuff for quarterbacks that are ancient and, you know, almost done with their careers. So maybe, you know, that's McVay saying, hey, Jets, come get Stafford. He just won a Super Bowl.
You don't have to worry about Aaron Rodgers. You can get the better quarterback out of the former NFC North. We do have another comment. Anthony Price chimes in. I think the Rams will tank and draft a quarterback next year. So I guess Anthony Price is on board with the idea that they're gonna trade away Stafford because their backup last year, if you recall, they traded for Sam Bradford, or they signed Sam Bradford. Not Sam Bradford. It wasn't Sam Darnold either. Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, Sam Bradford sort of kind of coincide with me, but they traded for, or they signed a released Baker Mayfield, and he was the backup in L.A. who started a couple games late in that season after Baker Mayfield was cut from Carolina.
Well, for fun, Ryan, you want to do something really quick?
Sure.
So since Anthony Price thinks that they're going to draft a quarterback, do you want to go over the top three quarterback prospects in that draft and see if that makes any sense?
Yeah, that's actually pretty interesting. If you got them ready and available, let's hear it.
Yes, I do. Number one, Caleb Williams, right out of USC. Oh, just down the road. Look out.
Listen, if the Rams are already tanking, first of all, they're wasting a year of Cooper Kupp's career. But, I mean, a Southern Cal kid going to a Southern California NFL team, it would make sense.
All right. Number two, Drake May out of North Carolina. That one's different.
Listen, it's sort of like Ohio State quarterbacks in the NFL. Mitch Trubisky got signed out of North Carolina after 1 year starting in North Carolina. We saw that he could barely beat out Kenny Pickett for Pittsburgh this past season. Yeah, I'll pass on Drake May. If my team was looking for a quarterback, that's unless Drake May has like a Heisman-type season next year, I'm passing completely on Drake May. So, yeah, that's a no-go for me.
The third one, Anthony doesn't think that the Rams will have a top 12 pick. Wow, that ruins our ranking, but here we go. We're going to go with number three just because it's fun. Again. You ready?
Yeah.
Shedeur Sanders.
Ooh. Yeah, listen.
Why? Because dad was a good corner?
And Shedeur Sanders is all going to depend on how he plays in the Pac-12 this year.
Yes.
He was playing.
And he was awful every time he played in a bowl game against the best team he played all season.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. We got another comment about Drake May here. Drake May was a true freshman last year. If he was a true freshman, he wouldn't be draft eligible next year. He's got to be out of high school for 3 years. That's kind of interesting.
Junior coming up next year.
So then he was Drake May was a sophomore last year. So Volley Polly, I apologize, but you are incorrect, and I don't mean to call you out on that. But nevertheless, listen, I don't think that they're going to move on from Stafford. I think that if anything, they're going to try to bounce back this year. If they struggle early, I mean, Bobby Wagner's now gone. He's back in Seattle. Not Bobby Wagner. Who's the other linebacker that came from Seattle that went to L.A. that went back to Seattle? You know what I'm talking
Bobby
about?
Bobby Wagner. That was Bobby
was
Wagner.
Was it Bobby Wagner?
Yep.
So it'd be interesting to see how they bounce back because the whole team was injured last year. Even Aaron Donald missed time last year. Cooper Kupp missed almost half the season. So yep. I think they're going to give Stafford a chance to see what they can do. And by the trade deadline, if they're 2-4, 2-6, whatever the case is, if they're that bad, then even with Stafford, I think that's when they give the trade away. Quick shout out once again, Volley Polly coming in the comments. Appreciate you being here on the stream. And Matt Buck, former guest on the show, coming in and watching the stream. Greatly appreciate all of your support. Let's move on to our last topic in the NFL discussion, and that has to do with NFL uniforms. I have been nothing but a uniform savant. I love uniforms, right? I love one of the things
except for that one you're wearing. That's terrible.
Listen, go Bravos, man.
Terrible.
One of the things I like doing when I'm playing Madden is going through and giving the old college guys that I drafted their old college numbers. I feel like the current players are starting to do that themselves. T. Higgins announced this week that he was going to be wearing the number 5 instead of 85 to go back to his Clemson number. It was announced that Calvin Ridley will be the first NFL player to use the number 0. The Jets have come out and announced that they'll be wearing their throwback, the shade of green, but their throwback green jerseys this coming season. It was either the Jets or the Eagles. I don't remember which one it was. But they'll be wearing their throwback uniforms all season long. I know that, as they say in My Cousin Vinny, the Utes tend to enjoy the different uniform combinations. Is one of the pitches when you go play for somebody like Oregon, who gets all their different uniform combos, even Maryland with Under Armour. Are we kind of going a little overboard with uniform number, like jersey numbers and uniform combinations in the NFL?
You're asking an older guy. That's a bad question to ask me because wide receivers should only have numbers in the 80s. It drives me crazy. Keyshawn Johnson ruined the game, number 19. I couldn't stand it. It had to report as eligible every time he went into the game. Like, well, how bored are you? Like, why don't you concentrate on what route you're supposed to run instead of having to wear number 19? Whatever. It looks ridiculous to me. I mean, the fact that position players want to have punter numbers, I don't understand. I've never understood that. I don't get it. Apparently Deion Sanders pointed, I don't know if you watched some of it. I watched Deion and then the speeches that he makes, because that's what he's best at, is making speeches. I think he's a crap coach, but we'll find out. Colorado's gonna be bad again. But but anyway, I love his speeches. He is super inspirational. The guy should be an inspirational speaker, and he was a fantastic player. But he talked about giving out duplicate numbers for college teams. and guys wanting lower numbers as a freshman. And he said, no, like when, you know, guy comes in as a freshman, he wants number one. And he said, no, no, you don't get number one. Because the guy that wears number one is the guy.
Yeah, you are number one.
The single digits, it seems to be not where I came, you know, came from. I didn't, that wasn't a thing, right? Because each position group had a number set. But it seems to be that the guys that wear the single digits, those are the dogs. Those are the guys. So I guess that's where it's coming from. I get that, but just be the guy. You don't have to wear a badge. Like, stop it.
Listen, if there's a quarterback that goes into the NFL and pulls a Doug Flutie and wants to wear like a number in the 20s, I think that's where I'm going to draw the line. Like, you stop. Quarterback.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, if I see a guy drop back the pass, it's kind of like Cordero Patterson wearing 84. Cordero Patterson of the Atlanta Falcons. He was a wide receiver coming out of college, but now he lines up at running back. Even though to me he's just more of a wide receiver playing running back still. And
doesn't I can't bother stand, you though.
Oh, it bothers me incredibly that he lines up at running back at number 84. Mm-hmm. It's just visually unappealing, and I know it's dumb. But nevertheless, we do have one more comment.
What happens when somebody comes into the NFL and says they were a Wayne Gretzky fan as a kid and they're a quarterback and they're going to want to wear number 99? Like, that will look ridiculous.
No,
it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
I'm not looking forward to seeing that. Anthony Price chimes in one more time.
Sanders that has to wear number 21 because his dad wore number 21 in the NFL. You watch.
I bet. Yep, I could see it. Anthony Price, Seahawk lime green jerseys. Our fire. One more comment.
Yes, I agree.
Good thing the NFL is 53-man rosters, so I doubt we'll see duplicate numbers like they have in college.
True.
And I mean, listen, even when it comes to the college numbers, like these colleges are retiring numbers so quickly that eventually they're going to have to go to like duplicate numbers on you know, all sides of the ball.
That's why they've always done it.
Yeah. So,
but I think he was also mentioning that if you don't dress, you don't get a jersey.
Nope, that makes sense.
Because there are kids that are on the sidelines that are wearing jersey numbers. The guys are on the field, and, you know, taking up numbers and. So he was also saying that, which I agree with. That's fine.
No, that totally makes sense. Bill, this is normally the time in the show, especially on the podcast side, where we take a break to pay the bills. And so for those listening on the podcast, that's what's going to happen.
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Business Equipment. With offices in Charleston, Greenville, Columbia, and Florence, Carolina Business Equipment can supply your copiers, computers, and printers anywhere in the state of South Carolina. Call my personal best friend, Aaron Thompson, at 843-452-8761 for a quote today, and make sure you tell him that Ryan from Tap Outs and Touchdowns sent you. Carolina Business Equipment, you worry about your business, let us handle your technology. Established in 2008, One Stop Repairs in North Charleston, South Carolina is your one-stop shop for all of your electronic repair needs. Specializing in cell phones, tablets, computers, laptops, and game consoles, One Stop Repairs offers reputable and quality service with the quickest turnaround time and the most competitive prices in the Lowcountry. You can find them on Google with an exceptional 4.9 star rating or on Facebook by searching for One Stop Repairs. Call for a quote today at 843-343-6310. That's the number one, One Stop Repairs.
We're going to go straight into the XFL talk. XFL Week 6 took place last week, and there were four more games that happened. And we're going to go right into the first game that took place. The Seattle Sea Dragons going on the road. Orlando trying to get their first win of the season. If you're watching live, you can see the final score. The Sea Dragons 26, the Guardians 19. Bill, let's start off with Seattle. Seattle's got one of the most prolific offenses in the XFL. If you're watching the live stream, you're seeing the stat lines, at least the important stat lines, scrolling across the ticker there. Is Seattle better than their 4-2 record indicates?
No, I thought they were before this week. I didn't think they played all that well. It was a busy weekend, right? So this is probably the least amount of XFL football that I've watched all season long. I have literally been turning off NCAA college basketball game, you know, college basketball games, the tournament games to watch XFL. I can't even believe it. But I didn't get a chance to see all of this game. I did watch the fourth quarter. And I thought, I mean, after beating the Roughnecks, I thought, man, the Sea Dragons, they're legit. They're going to be a team to be dealt with. And then they go into Orlando, and Orlando is better. They're starting to figure it out a little bit. Better play at quarterback. Paxton Lynch, of course, not seeing the field, which is a good idea. And I just didn't think Seattle was that good. I just, looking at the stat lines, I'm like, nah, just not there. It bothers me. Now, again, I don't think Morgan Ellison played much in this game, did he? Again?
He did not play at all. Morgan Ellison was held out of this game. They wanted him to get healthy. 3 weeks ago, he was the leading running back in the XFL. And last week, I think he had maybe like five or six carries. He was more involved in the pass game, but he did not play in this game. And even to your point, Ben DiNucci's throwing touchdowns, but he's still turning the ball over.
Yes.
And his leading receiver on this team, Jakorr Pearson, it was one of the guys that I told everybody to look out for.
Didn't have a great game
last week. 4 catches, 18 yards in this game for Jakorr Pearson. Before we move on to Orlando, we got one more comment here. The DC Defenders is the only Washington DC team that's good, and that's coming once again for Anthony Price. You're getting ahead of us, Anthony.
You need to start beating the drum that the DC Defenders can beat the Commanders.
There you go.
You need it, because you were saying earlier this season that Houston Roughnecks could beat the Texans. Obviously, Houston's not playing as good as they were, right? But now maybe DC Defenders can beat the Commanders. It's close, although the Commanders are a pretty decent team.
It also depends on who the Commanders can get at quarterback this year. Right. I mean, they don't have anybody coming back. Let's get back to the Orlando Guardians. You mentioned Paxton Lynch has essentially not quite been shown the door. But we get Quentin Dorminey at quarterback last week in replacement of Paxton Lynch. And he's sort of been given the reins, especially because earlier in the season, he was completely released from the team. With allegations that he was sharing plays with other teams, and the XFL reinstates him. If you look at the stat line here, 243 yards passing and then 43 yards on the ground.
Yeah.
No touchdowns, though, but he's getting the ball aired out. It feels like outside of Cody Latimer on this offense, that it's a bunch of new names who could have been playing better earlier in the season, giving Orlando more of a chance to win some games. Their running back has changed course. You know, Devin Darrington, 7 carries, 82 yards, and 2 touchdowns in this game. He had a 43-yard touchdown in this game.
Wait, he sealed the loss for Orlando late in the game, catching a pass from Dorminey in the fourth quarter, ran about 15 yards, got hit, and threw the ball to the other team.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite that dramatic, but he got smashed by a safety and dropped it. And DC recovered, game is over. So even though he had a good game prior to that.
Yeah, and you wonder if that means that they're gonna change course and go with a different running back again next week. Again, Cody Latimer seems to be the consistency in this offense. Another good day, 59 yards receiving. Charleston Rambo, who I've talked about early in the season with high expectations for him, he had himself another good game from a fantasy standpoint, 10.4 fantasy points for Charleston Rambo, 5 catches, 54 yards. When you look at this, the stat line for this game completely. Orlando, believe it or not, outgained Seattle in this game, 391 to 252. I think two disparaging stat lines here. Penalties. Seattle had 7. Orlando had 13 in this game, twice.
Every single week.
Undisciplined football. And then the rushing yards. I've been preaching the team that wins the running attack normally wins the game. That did not happen this week. With Morgan Ellison out, it seemed like Seattle struggled to get the running game going. 78 rushing yards for Seattle, 162 for Orlando. But Orlando could not complete their first win of the season. They led 10-9 at halftime and only trailed 17-16 going into the fourth quarter. Orlando hit a 50-yard field goal with 11:44 to bring the game back to 20-19, but fumbled, like you said, down the stretch and remained winless. Seattle improves to 4-2. And Orlando falls to 0-6, the last remaining winless team in the XFL. Next up on the slate, we have that we just talked about the worst team in the XFL, and now we're going to talk about the second worst team in the XFL. And I'm not talking about the St. Louis Battlehawks. St. Louis lost a couple games after starting the season undefeated. They get back on the winning track this week as they take out the Vegas Vipers 29-6. Bill, I think this is the most complete game that St. Louis has put together this year, but is it more of a St. Louis has finally figured it out or more Vegas is just that bad?
Both. I think both. St. Louis had a good game, really good game from them. Obviously putting up that – we've seen points. Points are down a little bit in the XFL over the NFL, and it's basically because of the amount of plays. I think they average like 7 or 8 plays less per team on offense. That's about a drive, so that's why you see the points usually a little bit lower. But they put up 29. That's a good game, you know, playing well. Vegas stinks. By the way, Vegas has activated a new quarterback.
Oh, so. we were getting there because there was some first.
There's actually like news in the XFL this week.
Yeah, there was the first trade in the XFL this season. We're getting to all of it because it's some fun stuff. If you look at St. Louis again, probably the most complete game of the season. AJ McCarron efficient, only 6 incompletions the entire game, over 200 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. A running back that's emerged for St. Louis over the last few weeks, Brian Hill.
Emerged. I called him a stud 3 weeks ago.
I'm well aware, but beginning of the year, he wasn't even slated to be the starter. 62 yards, 4.8 yards per carry in this game. And then a receiver who I know we've talked about him on the show, but I don't think he's been like the guy for St. Louis because Akeem Butler has. I told everybody to watch Akeem Butler last week. He only finished the game with 5 catches. Darius Shepherd out of North Dakota State with a big stat line here. 7 catches, 79 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
A little bit of D2 action right there. St. Louis
Battlehawks, absolutely. You mentioned for Vegas, they are struggling on the let me get these technical difficulties out of the way. Vegas is struggling to move the ball and completely. I don't know what else to say, Bill. They went with Luis Perez for part of the season. He goes 13-20 for 99 yards, 2 interceptions. He is benched once again for Brett Hundley, and Brett Hundley goes 50% passing, 120 yards, and a touchdown. Once again, no running game for Vegas, 43 combined rushing yards. The guy I told everybody to look out for last week, Rod Smith, 3 yards a carry at 5 carries in this game. Just not a good day.
St. Louis was listening, right? They looked out for him and they stopped him.
They did. Biggest news to me was that Martavis Bryant came back in this game to get into the stat line here. When you look at this game from a total aspect, there's not much to talk about. I mean, the score kind of speaks for itself. 328 yards for St. Louis, 230 for Vegas. I keep talking about and I keep emphasizing the importance of the run game in the XFL. St. Louis had 106 rushing yards and Vegas had 43. St. Louis never trailed in this game. 17-0 at halftime, 23-0 going into the fourth quarter. Here's where the big news comes. I mentioned Luis Perez was benched in this game for Brett Hundley. And you mentioned, I'm curious to know what quarterback they activated because I was wondering if it was Brett Hundley's show because Luis Perez was involved in the first trade in the XFL this season. Traded to the Arlington Renegades after this game for linebacker Ryan Mueller out of Kansas State. St. Louis improves to 4-2 in this game. Vegas falls to 1-5 to remain the second worst team in the XFL. Bill, who's the quarterback they activated today?
Wow, that one actually – I love that trade, by the way, for Arlington. Arlington in need of a quarterback now that – well, there's other stuff that has gone on with that. But his name is Jalen McClendon, quarterback out of Baylor.
And I recognize the name.
Much about him. I really don't.
Well, look it up though. Anthony Price active in the comments. I really appreciate it. He said Vegas is just bad, and 100%. high school stats normally look better than what Vegas is putting on the field right now. But they're gonna do what they can. I mean, Luis Perez was sort of that guy keeping Brett Hundley from taking over the reins, and now he's not there anymore. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Here in Vegas. Bill, looks like you're looking up our new quarterback Jalen in Vegas.
McClendon, all right, Ryan. He originally started his career at North Carolina State.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't play much. He only had, let's do quick math in our head, 47 attempts over 3 seasons. He transferred to Baylor and had 91 attempts in 9 games. He went 55-91, 60.4 percent completion percentage, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 715 yards. His career passing totals in college are 977 yards. So really giving a guy a shot here. It's Listen, like, hey, man, I've been sitting on the couch for a few months. Can I get a shot at this? Because I think I'm a little better than some of the guys you have. So we'll see how that works out.
I'm sending guys to break over here at Lowe's. Can you give me? Can I get another job? Maybe I don't know.
And that was years ago. That wasn't like this year. That was in 2018. Was the last time he's played ball.
It could just be that like they need competition now that Perez is gone. They still need somebody to push Huntley, but it's not like
nobody else around, right? Holy cow! The guy barely played quarterback in college.
The USFL is practicing. They'll be back in a few weeks. So those quarterbacks that are in the USFL obviously can't play in the XFL right now. True. So they're having to get what they can.
They're butting heads here now with their advertisements. Oh, and calling the USFL, calling the XFL a Hollywood league. And,
Hollywood knockoff. Yeah.
Guess what I'm not going to do? Watch the USFL. Like, you're just trying to hurt the brand. I mean, what are you doing? It's football.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm watching regardless, but I do like the I'm going to call it the sibling rivalry because we have two minor league football teams now and they're obviously wanting to kind of one-up each other. But we're getting about a little over halfway through the XFL season in week 6. It brings us to the next
game. I was going to say, Ryan, the USFL can have Kyle Sloter back cuz he got cut.
Yeah, and that's a great transition. Former Arlington Renegades quarterback Kyle Sloter released after this game. Arlington had just beaten San Antonio the week prior, right? And we made our picks last week.
Yeah.
And this was the only game we disagreed on. Yeah. And I got it right.
Yeah.
Your boy went 4-0 in picks last week thanks to this one. San Antonio 15, Arlington 9. Let's stay with Arlington, man. 9 points in this game. One of the worst offenses in the league. Drew Plitt comes in after Kyle Sloter goes 6 of 13 for 22 yards. Drew Plitt doesn't do much better. He does get 163 yards passing on 10 completions with a touchdown and a pick. It looks like they're listening to me too, and they're trying to commit to the run game in Arlington. They were split quarterback or running back duties, almost wound up with 100 yards rushing between Devion Smith and Letty Brown. Letty Brown, a wide receiver, a West Virginia product that I had not heard his name called a whole lot prior to this. The wide receiver I told you to watch for this week put up no stats. Tyler Vaughn's missing in this game. And listen, I'm going through all the players that I told people to watch out for.
Yeah.
And they either got hurt or they didn't play. For instance, we'll get to San Antonio in a second, but I told you to look out for Reed Sinnett, and he broke his foot. He's on IR. So we'll get to San Antonio in a second, but again, Arlington, the big news for Arlington after this loss, they acquire Luis Perez and release Kyle Sloter. So the question comes, who starts next week for Arlington, Drew Plitt or Luis Perez?
I would say Drew Plitt. I don't think that Luis Perez is going to have a handle on the playbook that quickly, but I think Luis Perez is probably the better quarterback, Captain YouTube over there. I've been banging the drum for Drew Plitt for weeks. And did he play better than Sloter? Yeah, he didn't turn the ball over twice. So
just once.
That's frustrating, man. Neither one of them are good. We said that at the beginning of the season. We're like, who are these guys on Arlington? Oh, they got all. They're like, oh, they got the all USFL guy. Let's see how good he does. And then he's terrible. And then he goes to the sideline and criticizes the coaches and the players. It's like, oh, guess what? You're cut. Like, shut up. Like, you're not playing all that well. Yeah.
Jeez. These two teams are two of the most – these two teams are two of the least interesting teams in the XFL, and that includes the 0-6 Guardians and the 1-5 Vipers.
Still love my Guardians.
I mean, listen, more power to you for sticking on here with the Guardians. Let's move over to San Antonio here because I already mentioned it. Reed Sinnett is on IR. He's done. He had surgery this past week. He's out for the rest of the season. So they went with two new quarterbacks. Bill, I don't know how they won this game. Jawan Pass from Prairie View A&M and Kurt Benkert.
Benkert was the kid that came from Green Bay, the Green Bay Packers. He had literally signed midweek, and they threw 6 passes with him.
Yeah.
it didn't go well, though.
East Carolina product also went to Virginia. 1 for 6, 2 yards in an interception for Kurt Bankert. Again, they are designating, they are dedicating themselves to the run game. Jaquez Patrick, 15 carries, 82 yards. Landon Akers is your leading receiver here. Again, look at these yards. 59 passing yards, not including sack yardage for San Antonio, but they somehow win this game. They got a fumble recovery, touchdown en route to being up 9-0 at the half. You look at total yards again, which it's not surprising, but it's surprising with the outcome. San Antonio, 162 total yards to Arlington's 249. San Antonio had 6 penalties to Arlington's 10. And this is the difference maker. San Antonio, 111 rushing yards to 79 for Arlington. Arlington got their lone touchdown in the third quarter to tie the game. And for all intents and purposes, if you look at the stat line that I just said, it should have been a jumping off point where Arlington can come back and win this game, but it doesn't happen. San Antonio kicks 2 field goals in the fourth quarter to secure this win. San Antonio they fall to 2-4. Nope, I'm right. They improved to 2-4. Arlington falls to 3-3. Bill, is Arlington – scratch that. Is San Antonio the worst 2-4 team? Like, I feel like San Antonio at this point is worse than Vegas, despite their having one more win. Like, I don't know how Arlington has 3 wins on the season either. Like, how – do either one of these teams have more than 2 wins? Like,
they're
both
really bad. They're both Vegas is bad. San Antonio's bad. They're it's the haves and have nots. Both of these teams are have nots. The Renegades were posing as a 3-2 bad team. They're just all bad. That is nothing good. They don't have consistent quarterback play. They don't run the ball all that well. The difference in this game was a turnover.
I would not be surprised.
Arlington outplayed San Antonio. Should have probably won the game. They turned the ball over twice, San Antonio once. It's turnover.
I wouldn't doubt if by the end of the season they both had worse records than both Orlando and Vegas. I think these – despite Orlando being winless and Vegas having one win –
Orlando better start winning now.
Well, I mean, they've got 4 weeks. I could see San Antonio and Arlington both losing out the rest of the season.
Yeah, they're bad.
I haven't looked at the full schedule unless they play each other, and that's impossible. But I digress.
I think Luis Perez is going to make that team better.
I think so, too.
I think it's going to be a better team as a result. I think he's a better quarterback than Drew Plitt and Kyle Sloter, and they'll end up being a better team. I think they're very lucky right now to have 3 wins, so if he can come in after this week, I don't think he plays much this week. Maybe he does. Like, Kurt Bankert played this week, and he literally joined the team on Thursday, and here he's in a game on Sunday.
Yeah.
And if you don't remember, that's the guy that was the third emergency. He was an emergency quarterback at Green Bay the entire season last season. I think it was that last season, the season before, behind Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers. So, I'm sorry, Voldemort.
gave up the secret. Now everybody knows what we're talking about.
He actually had NFL. I mean, kind of not really experiencing a game, but he had spent a lot of time with an NFL team and played terribly when he got in the game. 1 for 6 with a turnover, 2 yards. Yeah. Bad. So. I think Arlington with Luis Perez might get a little better. I don't think they catch any of the top 4.
They don't. Absolutely not. Again, I'm going to go out on a limb and say even with Luis Perez, they're just as bad. They're just as bad.
I don't think so. I think they get a little better. I think he gets a little better. That's Bob Stoops, man. They actually have a coach.
I agree. I just don't think they have the talent, unfortunately. Yeah. We're going to move on to the final game of XFL from week 6. Probably the best game of the weekend. The Houston Roughnecks taking on the DC Defenders, at least on paper. It should have been the best game of the weekend. Houston goes into this game at 4-1. DC at 5-0 going into this game. DC takes the win at home. I think it's safe to say that the Defenders are the favorites to win the XFL championship. Would you agree with that? Even, it's the obvious answer. But.
You're safe saying that. They do it on the ground. That they're the most physical team in the XFL, and I think that makes them scary. But every week we have a team that I feel like if they played their best football could beat them. I still think St. Louis is a pretty good team, even though they've been beaten twice by DC. Those were both very close games. Honestly, I think probably St. Louis might be better than Houston right now. Houston didn't play D.C. as well as St. Louis had been playing D.C. But, yeah, I think it's really safe to say that D.C. is by far the best team in the league right now.
Let's talk about Houston since you mentioned it. Another team that went through a quarterback change mid-game this week, Brandon Silver's benched. He had 111 passing yards, but he had an interception in this game. So they replaced him with Cole McDonald, who was a little more efficient. 8 for 11, 194 yards and a touchdown. He also
Where did that come from?
Yeah, that's my question. He also came out with 37 yards rushing and a rushing touchdown. Your guy, Max Borgi, they're feeding him the ball, but he's not doing much with it. 2.3 yards per carry in this game. But he did find the end zone twice.
There so we go.
They're still dedicated to getting him the ball. Deontay Burnett has had a couple good games this year. He finished the day over 100 yards with a score as well. To your point, like, yeah, Houston doesn't look very good. They're still 4-2. I think if they stick with one quarterback and Cole McDonald, who seems to be more of a dual threat than Brandon Silvers, I think that they're going to have a better chance. You're shaking your head. I haven't even gotten my thought out yet.
He was so bad before this. I feel like he had a good – when DC was just kind of playing to not lose.
Well, if that was the case, it didn't work because Houston came back in this game. They really came back.
They lost by 11.
They led at halftime, but DC would take over, you know, going late in this game.
Or by 9. But, they led by 9 at halftime, and they won the second half 2. So yeah. I'm not a fan. Sorry, listen, I'm not a fan.
No, I get it. I think that we've seen almost every team in the XFL, the exception of maybe DC, change quarterbacks mid-game, mid-week, whatever the case is. And I think these teams are just gonna have to roll with it. And Cole McDonald's got the hot hand. Let him take it into the next game and see what he can do with a full game under his belt. Don't go back to Brandon Silvers right away. I think
the only team that has actually not changed, because DC runs a 2-quarterback set right now, it's Ta'amu and Derek King. The only one that hasn't changed is St. Louis. AJ McCarron's been the quarterback all season.
That's absolutely
I don't think anybody else has done it with one quarterback now the entire season. Houston had Brandon Silvers, and he was set as the – and immediately as soon as he struggled, you're out. So
– yeah. No, I'm with you. You mentioned Jordan Ta'amu and Derek King – Houston was dead set on stopping the run here in this game. And Jordan Ta'amu said, all right, well, hold my beer. And he throws more passes than he's thrown in the game all season. Mm-hmm. Throws 31 passes, 245 pass yards and 2 touchdowns. This kid was good at Ole Miss.
Yeah. You talked about him. Yeah.
Yep. And he's starting to show why, you know, he should be deserving NFL looks, at least for a backup spot somewhere. But maybe he's going to wind up like AJ McCarron, and he wants to come back to this league anyway. The guy that I told you to watch out for, Abram Smith, got himself 95 yards rushing and a touchdown. The XFL's leading running back, if I'm not mistaken. Continuing to show why he was the number one pick in the XFL draft. Your leading receiver for DC, Lucky Jackson, once again, 136 yards receiving with a touchdown. This game was a lot. This game was very close. I mean, the score was 11 points apart. Houston outgained DC by 4 yards, 360 to 356. Again, you got to look at penalties, man. Houston had 12 penalties in this game. DC only had 3. That should indicate where they finished. You look at rushing yards again. I keep emphasizing it. 116 for DC, 72 for Houston. The teams that generally win the running battle are winning these games because they're controlling the pace of the games. Again, Houston led 8-3 at the end of the first quarter. But DC would take over, led 26-14 going into fourth quarter. Houston, again, wanted to key in on the DC run game, and Ta'amu let it rip. DC remains 6-0. Houston falls to 4-2. Bill, once again, if the listeners are listening to this podcast, this is about time that we would be going to break and coming back with the players to watch for in the XFL Week 7, as well as our game predictions for the games this week.
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Business Equipment. With offices in Charleston, Greenville, Columbia, and Florence,
Carolina Business Equipment can supply your copiers, computers, and printers anywhere in the state of South Carolina. Call my personal best friend, Aaron Thompson, at 843-452-8761 for a quote today, and make sure you tell him that Ryan from Tap Outs and Touchdowns sent you. Carolina Business Equipment, you worry about your business, let us handle your technology.
If you are looking for some Week 7 talk in the XFL, that's what you're here for. We get a Friday night football game. Friday night lights are back, but now in the XFL. Friday, March 31st at 7 p.m., the Seattle Seahawks, listen to me, the Seattle Sea Dragons are going out to Arlington, and they are taking on the Arlington Renegades. This is what I'm trying to do. The 4-2 Seattle Sea Dragons taking on the 3-3 Arlington Renegades. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give you my key players to watch out for in this game. He was still being limited in practice earlier this week, but I think they're gonna try to push him to play this week for Seattle. I'm telling you to watch out for Morgan Ellison. If he plays this week, he's had some time to rest. He didn't play much 2 weeks ago. We didn't play at all this week. So he's been nursing this knee injury. That's a name to watch out for. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about it. We spent most of the last segment talking about this. And for Arlington, it's Luis Perez. Does he play for the Arlington Renegades this week? And I think we both agree that he does. Bill,
hey, maybe. A little bit. I don't think that they just hand it over to him.
No, I don't think he starts, but it's a name to watch out for because, it'd be the first traded quarterback playing for a new team.
Right, and he didn't play all that poorly in all the games for Vegas. It wasn't every game that he was bad.
No,
bad it last was week.
Very bad last week.
Yeah.
Very bad.
Hey, guess what? They all practice and everything in Arlington. So he really doesn't, he really doesn't have to move. They've been living in Arlington since the beginning of the XFL. He just has to get on a different plane. And in this case, he doesn't even have to do it.
Doesn't go. He gets to stay home this week and play a home game.
Yes, this is great. I don't have to go to Vegas this week.
Bill, I should mention last week, I briefly said it. I went 4-0 in picks. You went 3-1. We go into this week where I lead us in picks by two games, 17-7. You sit at 15-9. Give me your two players to watch for in this game between Seattle and Arlington.
Seattle, I would go with Jakor Pearson. The guy's tiny. He's a little guy, and
he's just a little guy.
He's a little guy, but he finds his way open. Ben DiNucci finds him or tries to find him a lot in the games, and kind of how they go together. That's how the Seattle offense goes because Morgan Ellison's been hurt. I like watching him. I wonder how he gets onto an NFL roster. The guy's tiny. I think he's only like 5'7". Mm-hmm. But he's the leading receiver in XFL. So I don't know. Watch him. He's a super fun player to watch. And I was going to go with the same guy for the Arlington Renegades. Let's see what happens with Luis Perez to see if he plays in the game. I mean, I think that's going to make a difference for that team. It's going to make them better. They're going to be playing at home. So that's going to help, even though that's a weird, weird stadium. But yeah. I think they had like 13,000 people there the last game, so that's not terrible. I think it's going to be interesting to watch to see if he plays this week. And if he does, whether or not he brings, gives the Arlington Renegades an opportunity to beat what appears to be a superior Seattle Sea Dragons team.
Yeah, Bill, for that point, regardless of who lines up at quarterback or how much they play, I'm taking Seattle in this game. Who you got, Sea Dragons or Renegades?
Yeah, I think Seattle as well. I think they're a better team.
Yeah, that's the first agreement. We're not off to a hot start here, Bill.
well, you take the other bad team.
That's fair. Next up, we got our first Saturday game. This one comes at 3 o'clock, April 1st. An April Fool's Day game. This is where the Vegas Vipers get an opportunity to surpass San Antonio on paper now. The 1-5 Vipers hosting the 2-4 Brahmas. Bill, give me your players to watch out for in this game.
Vegas Vipers. I think it's going to be Brett Hundley. I think that's going to be interesting now that it seems this is going to be his team, right? So he doesn't have to worry about Luis Perez playing. He's going to get all the reps. In the one game he did start and play, he didn't play all that well. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how he ends up playing. I don't think Brett Hundley was ever that bad of a quarterback in the NFL. He wasn't really good, and he was pretty good in college. So I think I would hope to see the old Brett Hundley, the UCLA Brett Hundley. That I think will be fun. Kind of fun to watch. On the Brahma side of the ball, I don't want to really want to. I'm not going to watch anybody in particular. Who's going to play quarterback for that team? That's what I want to find out. Is it going to be the new kid from Green Bay? Or are we going to see? I don't even know what the other player's name was. Jack Cohn didn't get to play. So what happened to him?
Jack Cohn's hurt. He's hurt.
Oh, he is hurt. Okay. So yeah, we know Reed Sinnett's out for the year. So now it's who's going to play quarterback? Is the new guy going to be able to take over? I think they're really, really bad as a result, man. I think that's not going to go well. They can't score anyway, and now they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, listen, I'm right there with you. If you look at the key players for this game, San Antonio is not a quarterback play. I have been emphasizing this all season long.
Running game?
The team that runs better.
Kalen Ballage!
The team that wins. It's not Kalen Ballage that I'm aiming at. It is Jaquez Patrick leaning on him. Breaking in now a new quarterback. I'm going with Jaquez Patrick as my guy to watch out for San Antonio. For Vegas, it's Brett Hundley. I know they activated the new quarterback, but you wonder, to your point, like he wasn't a bad quarterback. He's had decent games, but for some reason, they just can't put it together right now. So you wonder, are Vegas going to flip-flop with him and let somebody else get some more play time now that Perez is gone? Bill, who are you taking in this game, San Antonio or Vegas?
Vegas. I think Vegas gets their – what does that make of their second win of the season? I don't think San Antonio is going to be able to put up points. I just don't. Vegas doesn't have a defense. They're not very good. We thought their roster was good. We were wrong. So were the experts, by the way, because that's who told us that they were good.
Yeah. And
experts. I just don't think San Antonio is going to put up a whole lot of points. They might get the running game going, and if they do – we got problems. I got problems with this pick if that happens. But right now, I think Brett Hundley and the experience that he has just in the XFL, that's a better team right now. And they're at home.
I mean, I've said it a couple times already on the show. I think Vegas is better than both San Antonio and Arlington, despite their record. As a South Carolina fan, you would probably, you'd probably be disappointed in the fact that, like, I'm upset that we haven't seen Vic Beasley show up. He was a former All-Pro on this Vegas defense, and we've heard his name called, I think, once in one game this year.
I feel like he did a little bit early, flashed a little bit early. I think the dude somewhere lost a ton of speed.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you there. Having said all that, I think San Antonio is just bad. I know Vegas doesn't have a defense, but San Antonio doesn't have much of an offense. I'm taking Vegas in this game as well. Your other Saturday game, your Saturday night game, Saturday, April 1st at 6 p.m., the D.C. Defenders. This is probably going to be the most lopsided game of the weekend. The D.C. Defenders, undefeated, traveling to the 0-6 Orlando Guardians. I love looking at your face. Just roll your eyes as they shut. Bill, I'm going to give you my key players here. I'm not sure there is a key player for either one of these teams. I'm just kind of curious to see if Orlando gets their first win against the last undefeated team in the XFL. Let's start off in D.C. since they're the away team. Jordan Ta'amu had his best passing game of the season this past week. He's still able to move the ball with his legs. D.C. is, despite not leading the NFL in individual categories, statistically speaking, passing, running, whatever the case is, they're prolific on offense. They know how to move the ball. They know how to find the end zone. So give me Jordan Ta'amu as a player to watch out for in this game. For Orlando, it's Devin Darrington, man, running back out of Virginia. He is the guy who led the way for this Orlando offense. They tried
fumbled
to lean on him.
Fumbled the game away.
But it's interesting to see if they use that as a way to push him to the side or if they allow him to sort of, okay, we were this close to winning the game.
Yeah.
Let's get you to hold on to the ball. And we have a chance to win this game last week and get our first win. So let's see if you can carry it again and do what you need to do
right
to help us get our first win. Bill, give me your players to watch out for in this game.
First of all, the Orlando Guardians have the best uniforms in football, maybe all of football ever. I freaking love the electric yellow or greenish yet whatever that is on the green. I love it, love it.
So you're an Oregon fan, is what you're saying?
It doesn't look like Oregon. It doesn't. It looks really cool.
The G kind of can look like an O if you look at it a certain way. It's got the round side, and if you kind of like glance and do like one of those little quick looks, they can look like an O. You could be looking at the Oregon Guardians.
Yeah, there. I don't even know what you're saying right now. But I do like their uniforms though. They're really cool.
No, I'm with you. Yeah.
I think Quentin Dormady on offense for Orlando is going to be the player to watch. The whole game is going to rest on him. I know the running back you're talking about. Darrington's a good player. I think he had a good game last week. He had a 43-yard run, and then after that, I think he had 42 yards on 7 carries. So he still was running the ball hard and having good runs, even when he without the big long carry. But I think Dormady that he's going to be the guy that really does it for them if they have any chance whatsoever against DC, and they don't. I mean, let's not joke that this one. I mean, or do they? They did play pretty well against Seattle last week. We're starting to doubt Seattle. We thought Seattle was like the team coming, you know. So, yeah. On the DC defender side, give me Lucky Jackson. I love this guy. Freaking love this guy. I like
when he's got a football name too.
I know. And when he gets interviewed over on the sideline, he has some of my favorite interviews. He's like straight to the point. But he's also really enthusiastic, and he speaks well. Man, I love it. I love when they interview the players. Lucky Jackson's one of my favorites. And dude's having a season. I just had his stats. He's got 24 catches for 386 yards. He's got 7 20-plus yard completions so far this season. So he's the big play man there in D.C. And, of course, they've got a running back. We don't have to talk about him again. So he's going to – I didn't want to – that was like low-hanging fruit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, watch the guy that leads the XFL in running. And that's Ryan's key to the game. No, I wasn't going to do that. Yeah. So, Lucky Jackson.
Bill, I can't remember who picked first last one. I'll go ahead. I mean, it's a pretty foregone conclusion. We're not picking against DC.
We're just going
right now,
DC.
Right?
DC, yeah. DC.
Yeah. There's no point in spending time on explaining why they're undefeated for a reason. And Orlando is winless for a reason.
For a reason.
Last up on the slate of games here. Sunday afternoon. Oh. This is probably going to be the game of the weekend. They've already faced off once this season. The St. Louis Battlehawks at the Houston Roughnecks, both 4-2 teams. This could be a future playoff game. You know, we've only got 4 more weeks left in the regular season here in the XFL. Bill, give me your key players here for Houston and St. Louis.
I think Houston. For me in this game, it's going to be who ends up starting at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be Brandon Silvers? Is it going to be Cole McDonald? That is a serious question. They don't have much of a running game. I love Max Borgie. He's not doing all that well this season, just not really having a season. And it's going to be which guy is going to play quarterback. Brandon Silvers looked like a good quarterback up until last week, and then they benched him. And then Cole McDonald looked really good. But again, like that was in garbage time. He looked good in garbage time. So who's going to start this game? How well is that person going to play? On the St. Louis Battlehawks side, I'm not going to steal your favorite guy in the whole world, but I'm going to take the quarterback over there too, because he is always the guy to watch. The only guy who's had a starting quarterback job the entire time, the entire season, AJ McCarron. And I over here, Anthony Price made a comment that I know the XFL is opportunity to second chances, but it looks like people are just playing for a check. Well, if you're looking for a guy that's not playing for a paycheck, AJ McCarron is your boy. Go buy his jersey right now. The guy gave up a $4 million contract that was offered to him to play for $60,000 in the XFL. That's what he gets paid per year in the XFL, because he wanted his kids to be able to watch him play, not just sit on the bench. So AJ McCarron is your boy. He's not playing for a paycheck. A paycheck.
He's not paying for a paycheck.
To play the game. Yeah. So I think AJ McCarron's the guy to watch up there in St. Louis. Well,
yeah. You did steal my thunder with Houston. I my player to watch was Cole McDonald. Does he get the starting job after the comeback attempt last week? You know, there's not much more to say about that. For St. Louis, I mean, what's coming is a guy that didn't have a great week last week sort of disappeared from the stat line.
I was going to steal your thunder.
Akeem Butler is one of the biggest receiving threats in the XFL.
Are you saying it because he's a giant man? Biggest receiving threat because he's a giant man? He's a giant man.
That's
I like to talk about that every single week. 6'5", 235.
That's precisely why I said that as far as being a big receiving threat. So, yeah, Akeem Butler, man, watch out for this guy, because his outside of last week, he's been lights out for St. Louis this season and one of the favorite targets for your guy, A.J. McCarron.
Second in the XFL in receiving, even with a bad week last week.
There you go. So watch out for Akeem Butler in St. Louis. Bill, I'm going to let you start us off here. He got the battle of 4-2 teams, McCarron Magic or my Roughnecks of Houston.
This one's brutal. AJ McCarron, don't turn the ball over. St. Louis Battlehawks for the win. Don't turn the ball over, AJ. You guys only lose when you throw interceptions.
This is the first disagreement we've had this week. Let's go. You get a chance to make up a game on me this week after I pulled away from you last week. Yeah, listen, I think Houston struggled last week. Obviously, they struggled because they didn't win. I think they get it back on track here. There's not much more to say about it. I think that there's some things are just kismet, cosmic, whatever you want to call it. I think Cole McDonald is going to come out and start this game.
No, he's not. He's
I think he's going to have a decent day. You know, outside of last week, really, St. Louis has sort of struggled to put a full game together that showed dominance by St. Louis. Remember, early in the season, we were wondering if St. Louis was the worst undefeated team in the XFL. And last week, playing, I'm already forgot who they played this past week. They're playing Vegas. Vegas, one of the worst defenses in the league, and they did what they wanted to all over the field on Vegas. That's not going to happen this week. They're going to have a hard time getting up and down the field. McCarron's going to struggle maybe till late again. And so I like Houston to get this win at home. If they were playing in St. Louis, I would probably switch my pick. But because Houston doesn't have to go play in front of 35,000 fans screaming for the Battlehawks.
I like to take chances, Ryan.
Listen, you take chances. I take winners. That's what I do. Oh, wow. You know what I'm saying? Bill, this has been fun. We'll get some more fan interaction the next time we go live. But this is a good time trying to get some people in the stream and listening to us live talk about the XFL. We're still trying to get people excited about this league. They're already in the planning process for the XFL Season 2. So we still got 4 more weeks of football here in the XFL. And that doesn't include the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So it's been good stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Bill, what you got coming up this next week with the iRacing gig?
We have Monday and Tuesday night once again. And I actually got Thursday nights. I'm going to be broadcasting another league. So that's a gig that we've been doing with another league on Thursday nights. So that's going to be coming up. So that'll be on our In the Zone Racing page on Facebook as well. So a ton of short track racing. But we have a really short track that we're running, Hickory, North Carolina. There's a track there called Hickory Motor Speedway. That's virtually on the iRacing service. And we'll be running that on Monday and Tuesday nights. And it's going to be fun, man. Like I said, we have so many drivers. It is a really cool experience, and everybody's having a good time. So, yeah, we have fun.
Make sure you go check out In the Zone Racing on Facebook. Bill, this has been fun. I enjoyed our first live show together and your facial debut on the show. your first physical appearance on the show. This has been great. Y'all remember, whatever platform you listen, you watch this on, you can always go to YouTube, Twitter, at Tapouts and TDs, or Facebook.com/Tapouts and Touchdowns whenever we go live. Those are the platforms we'll be on. Stay tuned next week. PJ, Steve, and I are going to be going live again next Monday to review the two-night WrestleMania, to Bill's dismay. We are going to be talking more wrestling. I hope you enjoyed the WrestleMania preview that we did this week, because now we actually get to go back
and review it. Enjoyed every minute of it, and that's how much I watched of it, a minute. No,
listen, Bill, no joke. The next time that we do like a prediction show, we're going to get you on, and you're just going to throw darts at a dartboard, and you're going to pick winners of the match and see how well you can do.
I think that'd be a fun thing to do. That's like blind picking. I have no idea who these people are.
And I'll get PJ to come on, and he'll pick XFL games. Until the NFL season starts.
Yes, you know, just that'd be like, even more fun. Like,
who's wearing blue this week? Yeah. Battlehawks. Yeah. Boom. So,
that'd be perfect. Yeah. He'd be like when women pick, you know, I love bears, and they're terrible.
Shout out to my sister, Shelly. Shelly took Oral Roberts to win the NCAA tournament this week. So that tells you right there. It goes to prove your point. Oh, good stuff.
I told you in real life, a woman picking a team that starts with that word just makes me go.
Yeah, it gives you a little chin scratch. Bill, this has been fun. Thanks again for being here. Thanks for everybody who's listened and watched along with us tonight. Thanks for everybody who interacted in the comments. Be sure to catch this show wherever you get your podcast, whenever we go live. Stay tuned for the WrestleMania review show And we'll be back with more football talk next week on the show. For Banker Bill, I'm not sure which way I'm supposed to be pointing. For Banker Bill, it's your guy, Bully Rye, for Tap Outs and Touchdowns, and I'll be around.